early days of a new year often feel like a moment of opportunity, a kind of fresh start, turn the page, new day. And as we step into this new year, we are walking in Scripture with the three kings setting out on their own adventure. And so I want to walk with them today and reflect on what is the core and key to their wisdom. The story itself is the stuff of legend, literally. These kinds of stories, these kind of a stock set of legends that were attached to the infancy narratives of celebrities, of famous people. That they were always important, even when they were unknown. From their very birth, the stars told their future, and the wise ones, the oracles, knew they were important. That was, in the ancient world, a standard expectation. And then this story has morphed a bit over history. In the catacombs, there are paintings of two wise men, and by the time you get to the Middle Ages, there's 12 wise men. And somewhere along the line, around the year 700, one of them gets named Balthazar and is said to have dark skin. And then somewhere they become kings. And then eventually there's three, because there's three gifts. So all of that has been morphing through history, except for one thing. They've always been wise. So what is that about that wisdom? This is a wisdom text, so rather than asking the question, did this really happen? The real question is, how is it true for me now? So, what makes the wise men wise is, of course, their learning, what they are trained in, kind of astrology, astronomy. But what makes them truly wise is how they act on it, what they do with it, in ways that are accessible to all of us. The first thing they do is they take a leap of faith. Really. It's not a whole blueprint to see a portent, to feel a call. That is just the dislocation. That's the beginning of the avalanche. That's what gets us out on the road. They are stepping into an incredible unknown, leaving home for no good reason, except that they are compelled to do this. It's not a political move. They are uprooting and making this unplanned, costly, and dangerous journey towards something they barely understand. And that wisdom move looks foolhardy to a lot of people, usually. But the wise know that you can't measure out a journey like this. You can only measure the first step. Nearly everything after that is going to meet you, the future coming toward us. And the wise step into this crazy set of unknowns, knowing that the way will unfold as they go. These are true pilgrims, as Psalm 84 this morning says, blessed are the ones whose hearts are set in the pilgrim's way. And then the other thing that they do, which is an equally important step, is that as they go, they listen. And they listen at ever deeper levels. So, of course, they're following the star and adjusting their course as they go. But then there's this great scene where Herod is weaving the trap. But because they're open to their dreams, and they're listening to more than Herod, and they're listening to more than they could ever figure out, they know they need to go home by another way. That, I think, is the seat of wisdom. Its very core is learning how to listen along the way, which means letting go of the plans we thought we had for the new information that we're getting, and trusting that that is enough, that that will give to us information we could have never gotten any other way with our planning. I sometimes really wonder if the wise, the truly wise plan at all. You know, it's just taking the next step and the next step and the next step by instinct almost. Once upon a time, when I was 25 years old, I did something like that. It was not a wisdom step, it was just impulsive youth. But there was something that called me. I literally bought a one-way ticket to Tel Aviv and gave myself a year to be in the Holy Land. And I could afford to do that. It wasn't about money. I mean, that I worked my way forward on a kibbutz, and it was about time. I had the time to do it. As I said, it wasn't a wisdom step, but it, in the end, taught me something about this way of walking that is wise, this universal pattern, that the leap of faith, that just going and then staying very attuned to every step along the way and changing course as it went, opened up all kinds of opportunities I could have never planned, rich beyond belief. And I've always wondered, was that a special moment in life, or is all of life like that? But I just had eyes to see it because I was so clearly tuned to the unexpected. I would like to say that it changed my life and I lived my life in that way, but no, not so much. I have spent so many years trying to plan and control and manage all the steps of life. I am as sick as anyone of the pandemic and where we are right now and the not knowing what comes next. But I have learned with you that that is a lifelong journey into that. That is part of the travel into wisdom, of learning how to go off script and how to live life not according to the original plan. The truly wise are able to step forward in faith without having it all figured out, but knowing that it is truly about listening on the way. And knowing that in that kind of listening, we will hear things we would have otherwise missed if we were just listening to our plan. I keep coming back over and over to the pandemic as maybe the best example to work with. It's such a petri dish of wisdom living. It was unchosen, but we are all in it, and it is all having a huge impact on our lives, and it will for decades to come. It will change our world. It's knocked us all off our center. And that goes on and on. And we're very much on a journey where we have to make our decisions based on what's happening now, what happens in the next week, the next month. And I think over time, we're slowly realizing that this disruption to our lives is our life. That John Lennon says, life is what happens when you're making other plans. That the interruption, is it? How we let that be and embrace that might be the best wisdom choice we ever make in our lives. And especially right now in our world. And where that standing in the world can be isolating and disillusioning and disorienting and discouraging, doing it together as a community and doing it as a community of faith makes this journey hugely empowering. That's, I think, whether we know it or not, why we are all here. That it's not just kind of huddling together, but discovering that by sharing our collective wonderment, our even our confusion, by pooling our collective wisdom, suddenly it becomes energizing and full of life and hope and wisdom. This is where things arise out of the gathering. Next week, when we gather for our annual meeting, it'll be on Zoom, but we'll be collectively gathered. The vestry will share where we've got to so far on our discernment of goals for this next year, where we will focus our attention as we build forward as a community of faith. And what excites me most about that is not that we suddenly will then have certainty and a stencil that we can just color in, because it won't work like that. Life will keep changing. But we kind of have this little cluster of guiding stars then to orient around and make those improvisational changes as we go, conversation by conversation, conversion by conversion, step by step. And that sounds to me like a good year ahead. And I'm looking forward to it. Wisdom, faith allows us to leap. And wisdom listening allows us to learn at every step. And this wisdom way leads to this eternal birth happening in us, as Meister Eckhart says. This is an adventure that we are on. Adventure, we're venturing out, going forth, discovering something new, and also coming home to a true source, to a true center. So let's enjoy the ride. Let's deeply benefit from and commit ourselves to this journey that we are on.